right. Get started here. Let me update you, you guys, on our injury situation out of this football game. So Ron Brooks, left calf contusion. It's a deep bruise. It's significant. Again, his is a day-to-day situation there. Jason Kelsey, plantar fasciitis. He'll actually be out. Both of these guys will be out of our practice on Wednesday. Coming up, won't practice Wednesday. They're both day to day. Michael Kendricks had just a rib contusion. Again, same thing. We'll hold him out on Wednesday's practice. Marcus Smith has a right groin strain. Should be fine. We'll just hold him on Wednesday. And then Benny Logan, his left groin strain. His is a little more significant. Probably a week to week deal. Injury with Benny, but we'll keep monitoring that every day. Brian Brayman, Jordan Matthews, Leo, and Rodney McLeod. Rodney got a right AC shoulder sprain in this game, but both of those, or all four of those guys, will be good to practice on Wednesday.
Coach, you get Leo's back, but then now you have another injury with another quarterback. At some point, you're going to have to change what you do on game day, have more quarterbacks up.
Well, you know, we brought up CJ last week, obviously, to the active, but you know, this is the National Football League, and with the limited roster size that you have, I mean, it's the nature of the business, and you know, injuries are going to happen. We just got to make sure our guys are healthy and fresh, but we have combinations of guys that obviously we've worked throughout camp and first part of the season, so. You know, we'll attack it. We'll attack it again this week.
After the game, you kind of indicated that Big V will be your right tackle against the Vikings. But after watching the film, is he going to start on Sunday against the Vikings?
Yes.
What's your thinking behind that, Doug?
You know, you look at it from a certain perspective, then you get a chance to come in today and watch it again. You get a different perspective. Felt like he slow start, but really settled in nicely throughout the game. And listen, was it perfect? Was it pretty? No. Were there assignment errors? Yes. And you know, I'm not going to stand here and point the finger at Big V, because that's not what happened. There's enough mistakes all around in this football game that cost us this game, and. But I thought as the game progressed, he settled in nicely and did some good things.
You can take with a rookie quarterback back there and an inexperienced right tackle when you have other options. In fact, you thought this summer that the best option was to have Allen out there with Wisniewski at guard, two veterans. And now you have a rookie that's in charge of protecting a very valuable piece for you.
Listen, there's a risk every time they take the field. I'm just, plain and simple. Every time we take the field, there's a risk. And regardless of whether it be a rookie or a veteran out there playing, I can't get caught up in that. I'm not going to necessarily worry about that as much as my focus is to get V ready to go. And, listen, he'll be a lot better this week. He's now got a full game under his belt. And that's valuable experience that he can learn from going into this week.
Who takes your first team snaps at center on Wednesday?
Wiz. Yeah, it'll be Wiz. It'll be Wiz.
And are you concerned about Kelsey missing Sunday?
No. Yeah.
Do you consider V your best option at right tackle? That's the best scenario for right now? Or is the idea of developing him and getting him experience so that he can be a better player down the road a bigger part of this?
He gives us the best opportunity to win right now, and he is our backup right tackle right now. Therefore, he's going to play, and he's gonna gain valuable experience week in and week out.
Okay, so as an era, having him at right tackle is better than in a perfect world having
Wisniewski guarding Barber.
Yes. Yes.
Doug, you said before that we'll let Jim kind of do his own thing with the defense. We would only kind of intervene if you saw something you didn't like. Have you reached that point?
No. There's no panic by no stretch of the imagination. No panic whatsoever. I've talked to Jim this morning. We kind of went through it, and I watched the defensive side of the ball. And listen, it just comes down to players making plays, the guys are disappointed. The players are disappointed. They know how they played, and they felt it after the game. And the guys that have been here already this morning know. And it's just ownership. But by no means will I at this point, you know, make any decisions on that side of the ball right now.
Doug, in going with Big V over the double move of having Barber sprint outside and Wiz, which one concerns you more in that double move? Is it moving Barber to right tackle, or is it putting Wisniewski in that left guard?
Yeah, because Barber right now, you know, he's been playing really well at left guard. And, you know, it's a whole new position going from left guard to right tackle. You're out there on an island, and it's just making a double switch like that. Is tough, even though it is two veteran players. That's a tough switch, and you know, we did things in this football game to help, whether it be sliding protections or chips or whatever we needed to do to help him, and we'll continue to monitor that as we go, as we put game plans together in these next couple of weeks.
Did you do enough?
Getting back to your defense, 230 yards rushing. Your front seven is supposed to be the strength of your team. It looked like it was just physically manhandled. Why does that happen?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I would agree that, you know, we got our tail kicked up front this game. I mean, that's an obvious, and it's a pride thing. It comes down to each man, you know, taking ownership in their jobs and their assignments. As coaches, we got to make sure our players are in the right positions to make plays. And at the end of the day, you know, it's each man to himself collectively, and then as a group. You know, coming together and making plays. It's surprising that you know, a team could run the ball for that many yards against us with the way we play and attack on defense. But at the same time, I will give the Redskins credit for getting after us up front, really on both sides of the line of scrimmage.
Well, following up on that, Doug, your offense, your front four alignment leaves more natural gaps or wider natural gaps, and a lot of it falls on linebackers to be aggressive. Is that where you saw some of the failing in that second line?
Sometimes linebackers get caught, you know, behind blocks. Sometimes we don't get the penetration we need up front. Guys begin to two-gap just a little bit more than what Jim teaches and you know, Coach Wilson. And, you know, we pride ourselves on getting upfield. That's where you can disrupt blocks, is by getting upfield, and it creates space for your linebackers to come downhill and flow. And when that's not synced up all the time, that's where you can get behind blocks, and that's where your big running lanes can come from.
Before this game, the way the offense has been able to hold the ball, like the time of possession, that's kind of masked some of the, you know, problems on defense that you guys have had?
Well, we've got our own set of issues, you know, obviously on offense, and we've got, you know, you look at this football game too, and it comes down to penalties and third down, which it did almost a week ago. You know, our average third down distance was third and 10 in this football game, and it's tough to overcome, and penalties set us back on first or second down and gave us some longer situations. So, you know, we've got to clean that up offensively, because then collectively that handles the time of possession and the fact that we can stay on the field and keep our defense and keep them fresh and rested. And the last couple of weeks offensively, we haven't been able to do that.
Those penalties showed up, it seems, right after the bye. I mean, you guys were getting lauded by the National League
for the Christmas play. Do you correlate that, number one, and number two, already? Or are you thinking, okay, the next time I have a bye,
no, I'm not gonna, you know, change anything that way. I think it just, you know, it just comes down to the communication from me to the team to the staff, disciplining ourselves in practice, focusing on the little things. The little things will take care of big things, and those are all part of the game. And again, the players know, the coaches know. You know, we can't keep putting ourselves in these situations, and you know, it's unfortunate that is happening right now, but it's something we have to address and clean up.
Doug, when you guys give up 21 points in the first half, back to back weeks, What does that say about just the guys being ready to play? But do you think that's an issue that they just haven't been kind of ready on both sides of the ball early in games?
Well, you know, this game, the guys came out, they came out ready. You know, Washington, you know, punts early. Of course, we punted early. And then, you know, they put a drive together. We had a couple penalties in there that kept some drives going. I know Kirk Cousins scrambled on one. It gave him a first down, things of that nature. And then then the defense steps up. You get a pick six. You get a kickoff return. You're right back in the football game at 14-14. And you're looking for that one spark. And, you know, we were hoping at that time that that was going to be our spark. And then offensively, we've got to do more offensively to stay on the field and to keep our defense off the field. That's what we saw in the first three games. We were able to control the ball, not only, you know, plays, but the time of possession. So it works. That's the beauty of football. It works. All three phases have to be in sync for this thing to happen.
Doug, why hasn't Zach Ertz been more of a focus point in the offense since he's returned?
Well, he had opportunities yesterday. You know, yeah, well, and, you know, listen, there were plays designed, you know, not necessarily with him being the first progression, but there were plays where Carson, you know, based on the progression, the read, could have thrown him the ball a couple of times. And you know, you got one football, and, you know, we asked Carson to go through his read, and if he's the guy, he's the guy. But he is a big part of the offense, and we got to continue, and I've got to continue with Frank and the guys to still figure out and find ways to get him open and get him the ball.
As a play caller, right and wrong, actually specifically the last two sacks that he took, what would you like to have seen in that situation?
Well, on the second and six, you know, again, that was a play designed to get the ball down the field. He had an opportunity again. Zach Ertz was the guy underneath. You know, and that's the thing about just understanding situational football. These are the things with young quarterbacks sometimes you kind of lose sight of in the heat of the battle. And Carson understands that, and he knows that. And then on the last one, you just can't put yourself in that situation. You know, it was a two deep man coverage, and you know, he had opportunity. He didn't have to slide and move in the pocket, but at the same time, in those situations, knowing again the situation. And the coverage you should expect, and we should expect that the ball's got to come out of your hand. Because if we complete the ball on a third and long, then it gives us an opportunity to go for it on fourth down and not have to punt the ball back.
Did you think they
helped to the Black Tie yesterday?
I did.
Doug, people want to focus on Big B. How many other problems did you have on the offensive line?
How much time do we have? I mean, listen. This wasn't a perfect football game. It's not a perfect football game. We made enough mistakes on offense to keep ourselves. We kept ourselves out of the end zone. You know, two field goals is not good enough to win. And you know, there's enough to go around. Everybody, me included, that. And I beat myself up all the time as far as am I making the right calls? Am I putting the guys in the right situations by play call, by design? Am I helping if I need to have help? And, you know, so I beat myself up too, and it starts with me because I'm the one calling the game. So, you know, but there's enough mistakes. Yeah, I mean, there's problems and issues that we have to address with everybody.
Yeah. I mean, you chipped off the left side yesterday. Are you seeing the same level of play from Jason that you thought you would see at this point?
Yeah, and you know, he'll come in and he'll tell you that probably wasn't his perfect, wasn't his best yesterday. And you know, again, you're on the road. You get two wide, good rush DNs, and you do everything you can to chip both edges. That was kind of the MO going in on in those situations. And again, it's something that. It comes down to each man, you know, just doing their job, doing their assignment. That's kind of been my message throughout camp and throughout the early part of the season, and just making sure that we, as coaches, have our players ready to go and detail their assignments.
So along those lines, too, the tight end targets were down considerably yesterday, I think four between the three of them, and Scrolls only one target, second leading receiver. How much of that was the product of having the chip help out that?
A little bit, because it takes your, you know, your tight end a little bit out of the game. From the standpoint, he's not necessarily down the field, running routes. But at the same time, that type of defense, because of the way they play their zone defense, they're such a soft three deep zone that those routes can become very important for you as a quarterback. And again, those are all. And then you could have seen, you know, tight end targets up. You could have seen running back targets up. And you know, it's just again, it's kind of the growth, the maturity of where we are. Carson learning the game, understanding the situation, and he'll get better with each time he takes the football. This is his fifth start, and we're expecting, you know, the world out of him, and we put a lot on his shoulders now, and he's handled it extremely well.
Are you able to call the game you want with so much attention going to helping out like that on the right side?
I am actually, and you know, we do a lot of things with jet protections and slide protections that it's an easy thing to do, just with a simple call, and the backs can still get in their spots and still do their routes. We did enough 5-man protection in this game too that was able to get all 5 guys out in the route. I was comfortable there.
Doug, the problems you're seeing with lack of discipline and the penalties and the sloppiness, are they showing up in practice? Are they an issue during the week?
There's a few. You know, we've been working the silent count these last couple of days because we've been on the road, and with the silent count always comes the issue of can the tackles and tight ends and the false starts and things like that come into play. Yeah, and you see one or two of those throughout the course of the week. And then, of course, you're seeing it, you know, in the games. But we're going to continue to work silent count. You know, we're back home this week, so we can use a little bit more of our live and normal cadences, which is a little bit easier for our tackles and tight ends to get off the football. You know, it's an area that I'll address with the football team.
I think Carson responded after the initial struggle on offense.
I thought he bounced back and did a nice job. You know, he stood in there and he delivered the football, made a couple of nice throws on the run out of the pocket. It was unfortunate the one came back on a penalty, I thought he stood in there and did a nice job, you know, as the game wore on.
As a former quarterback or a former player, when Carson like stands up yesterday and kind of takes a blame for the sacks and also, you know, maybe for the throw to Hurts that he said could have been lower. I mean, does that resonate in the locker room? Do players notice that? I mean, does that kind of
you know, players do see that, and that's just a sign of a mature quarterback, and that's the type of guy that Carson is, and you know, he's hard on himself, you know, he understands that those situations, he can't take those sacks, obviously, in those situations. He knows that ball's got to come out, whatever he can do to get, you know, the ball lower 6 inches, whatever. You know, Zach making the play, you know, it's a touchdown on the play. You know, the guys, when he takes ownership that way, the guys really do understand and see that this is a kid that you can rally around and support, and because he's a tough kid now, and he's going to stand in there and take a lot of shots, and rightfully so. But the guys do take notice of that.
You've always said that execution is paramount. And you don't care if the opponent has your entire playbook. If you execute, you're going to be all right.
Correct.
Well, you're facing a situation this coming week in which the opponent does have your entire playbook. Is that going to affect at all the way you put together?
One guy has my entire playbook.
I think Sam Bradford's there.
One guy.
Well, he might mess with the coaches.
He's got to worry about getting himself ready to play, too.
In any case, so, knowing that, is that going to affect how you put together? You understand my question. How do you put together?
We also, back a few years ago, Donovan was in Washington when we played him, and we had a pretty good day. I'm not going to change anything. Will we tweak some stuff? Yes. You know, we still have to get ready. This is a great football team coming in here now. They're undefeated, coming off a bye. Sam has, obviously, a good understanding and knowledge of what we do on both sides of the ball. I think where it becomes valuable for a coach, when a player knows you, is just knowing personnel. I think just understanding the types of guys that are here. He's been a teammate, you know, for a couple of years here, and I think that becomes more valuable than the X's and O's. Because if I know Sam and I know you know the quarterback position, I mean he's got to get ready for this defense and get himself ready to go as well.
Are you surprised how well he's played coming in there so late?
No. It's just everything I've seen and worked with Sam and how well he picked up our offense here and the execution he had throughout training camp, and you're seeing a lot of the same concepts offensively with them that we did here. And he's a sharp kid and he's a smart kid and he's a very accurate thrower. And so I'm not surprised the success. He's got great, you know, he didn't go to a 1-15 team. He went to a playoff caliber team. So, with a tremendous defense, so that helps as well.
Following up on the timeout question from yesterday, what's the thinking in not rushing the punt team out there and preserving that third timeout?
Yeah, you know, it was, at that time, obviously, you're in a two-minute situation. You take the big sack. You know, you end up doing the math on the whole thing. You're going to end up in the same spot, whether you take the timeout or you don't. And so at that point, I elected to take the timeout, save the time, knowing we were going to have to punt. You know, hoping to get a stop on third down. They were going to waste the time, run the time there, but we still would have got the ball back with, I think, just under 50 seconds, in the game with an opportunity to still go tie it. Okay. Thank you guys.